How's everyone tonight? Blessed. I'm blessed too. I had such a good time with the Lord today. And so we will not delay. We'll just begin. Pastor Winston is on the mission field. Things are going great. He says, thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray and lift him up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for your word. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to reveal secrets and mysteries of God's kingdom. Direct us, Lord God, and draw us closer to you. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The message that we're going to share with you tonight is continuing on the same vein. Pastor's been teaching on the covenant of marriage. So I'm going to be talking about relationship, but not the marriage relationship directly. The last time I ministered, I think it was November 19th last year, and I shared about my testimony of how I walk by faith, and I shared that there were three areas that were key in me learning how to walk by faith over these years, and that first area was faith, the second area was wisdom, and the third area was my relationship with God. And so we know that faith, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God is really the basis for our faith. We know from Proverbs 2:6, it says, the Lord gives wisdom and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So wisdom also comes from the word of God. And so I just want to show you tonight that relationship in John 17:3, the word says that this then is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So the eternal life that Jesus came to bring us is really about a relationship. It's about reestablishing our relationship with God. He says eternal life is to know God and to know Jesus. And so Jesus told his disciples, they said, if you've seen the Father, then you've seen me, right? And Jesus is the Word, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we see the Word, we see Jesus. And when we see Jesus, we see the Father. And so our relationship with God is really based on the Word of God. So the title of our message today is How to Have a Relationship with a God You Cannot See. How to Have a Relationship with a God You Cannot See. I love the Word of God, and I think you know that. I think we all love the Word of God, because when I study it, when I read it, I learn so much about who God is, about his nature, about his character. I learn about life. I learn about his relationship with a people that he loves by going through both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the more you learn about God, the more you come to trust him. And to understand that your security is not in physical things. And your security is not even in people. Right, the more you get to know about God, you learn your security is in him. Because he's the one that's with you and that's in you. And that no matter what you face in life, no matter where you go, no matter how big your dreams are, he's the one that is with you to help you accomplish those dreams. And so we're going to talk about relationship, but our relationship with God. And if we take to heart the message tonight, I believe it will make our relationship with our spouses even better. Amen? Okay, so up front, I'm going to tell you, I apologize if I offend you. So I'm going to say that ahead of time so that you'll know. Because, you know, as I'm preparing messages, I say, boy, why can't I preach like such and such? They're just so nice and they're so positive. And every time I bring the word, I have to remember, okay, this is good news. This is good news. Preach good news. Encourage the people. Because how many of you know that when you start reading the Bible and sometimes you start reading the Old Testament, it's kind of fiery. It's kind of fiery back there. So let's turn in our Bibles. Let me tell you before I tell you where we're going to turn. So, as I'm preparing for the message tonight, I'm thinking, okay, I taught a class in the Introduction to the Bible in the Bible Training Center, and there was one class that I need to redo covering the Minor Prophets. And so I said, okay, what I can do is I can cover the Minor Prophets tonight so we can just plug that on, you know, into the class because they teach it by video. I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start reading the book of Hosea. How many of you have never read the book of Hosea? Totally. You've never read it. Okay, let me show you an example of some of the things that I read. Hosea chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. I say, okay, we're doing great here. In verse 4, the end says, I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. So God is announcing that the nation that exists now, I'm going to cause it to cease. It will not cease anymore. Look at verse 6. At the end it says, but I will have no more mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. I'm saying, okay. Verse 9, and God said, you are not my people, and I will not be your God. I say, okay, I'm still looking for some good news to preach, right? Verse 2, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms. All right. Chapter 4, verse 2. Verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Chapter 5, verse 4. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. Okay. Chapter 10, verse 13. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity. And the last verse, chapter 13, verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. So I just imagined pastor calling back to the church and saying, okay, how did my wife do? And they'll say, oh, well, she told us we had a spirit of whoredoms and we needed to repent. And then I was reminded that the Old Testament prophets, for the most part, were chastising God's people because they had strayed away from God. So I said, you know what? I don't think I'll preach that tonight. But that just gives you an idea of what's, you know, in the Old Testament. I think I'm going to try to stick with the good news. So, but in Malachi 3:6, it says, I am the Lord and I change not. You know, Jesus taught from the Old Testament. As you read the Old Testament, you can kind of see some of the areas that Jesus taught, but he just made it sound a little nicer. Amen? Except was in Matthew 23 when he called them hypocrites and vipers. But God has not changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. What he did is when he sent Jesus, and when Jesus died for our sins, he gave a dispensation of grace so that the wages of sin is still death. But for those who receive Jesus, they're covered. That God's wrath is not going to come against God's people. He loves us, and so we're covered and protected. But judgment will still come to those who choose sin and reject Jesus. And if you don't think so, just look in the book of Revelation, chapters 19 and 20. Okay? So, how to have a relationship with a God that you cannot see. There are things that God wants to teach us. There are things God wants to teach you that you will never get from a pulpit sermon. God wants to show us so many things from his word, but we won't get it from a pulpit sermon. We won't get it from the internet. The only way we're going to get it is to take time and read the word for ourselves. God wants to talk to you. He wants to reveal things to you. I remember hearing the movie that was about Walt Disney, and he had a challenging and a very troublesome childhood. It was hard. There was a lot of hardship. And he created Disneyland because he wanted to create the happiest place on earth, where people could just forget about the hardness of life, just for a little while, and be happy. And that's kind of what, like, having a devotion time with God is like. I'd say the happiest place on earth for me is in my library, in the basement, where I spend time with God. And of course, that's scriptural because in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13 through 18, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than silver. Happy is the man that finds wisdom." So when we let God speak to us through his word, it'll make us happy. It'll bring joy. And that's what true good relationships should bring, joy. Your marriage, it should be a place of joy. You know, with your relationship with your children, it should be a time of joy. We should enjoy. God made us to be social beings. As much as I love that little room in my basement and spending time with God, it's like time stands still. It's like when you really get a chance to get in the Word, and it's like nothing else in the world matters. It's almost like that's your escape. That's not Disneyland, but that's a place where you leave this temporal world and you get into the spirit realm and you just see all kinds of wonderful things. And so the Bible can bring you that joy that you need. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. But in the Bible, it just doesn't give us the sweet things, you know, the icing on the cake. As Pastor said, you need not just the desserts, but you need the collard greens, and you need the chicken, you need the good things so that you can balance it out. And I believe it's that way with the Word of God, that it's good that we build our faith. We must build our faith in the Word of God, and it must encourage us. But there are some times when we read the Word of God, we must allow it to correct us. Because how many of you know, just like a parent with a child, if you never correct your child, you're not going to enjoy that relationship. That child is going to be a terror to you, and probably a terror when he grows up and gets on the outside. So it's important for us to correct our children. So it's important for us to be in a state where we can allow God to correct us. Okay, God doesn't beat us up. He loves us, right? We're in the dispensation of grace. He loves us. He created mankind to love. Okay, he didn't create mankind to beat them up when they mess up. He created mankind to love them and to teach us about himself through all the things in creation that he made, and he wanted us to love one another. But, and the Bible says, now this is in the context of taking communion, and the author is telling us we really need to examine ourselves, that we don't eat unworthily. But turn to verse 31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So he's saying, well, we should judge ourselves. You know, we should examine ourselves periodically, make sure that we are not getting slack in the things of God. Amen? So again, I'm talking about, how do you have a relationship with a God that you can't see? You get to know him by studying, by listening to the Word of God, and then you learn. And especially the areas where we want to stay in the safe zone. You know, we're living in this earth. There's a danger zone when you're getting out, you know, too close to the world, but they're the safe zone. We are in Christ. We stay in the boundaries that God has set. And I'm going to explain that in a little bit. So, as much you know, I love the Word. I write confessions. Amen. And so I decided, okay, if God's word says I need to judge myself, well then, if I keep messing up the same way time and time again, well, it's time for me to chastise myself too. Now, you don't have to do this, but this is how I learn about God, and this is how I learn. You know, I test things. If I see something in the Word, And I just try it out, and I see, okay, now how does this bear witness with my spirit? Because each of us, we need to learn how to apply the Word of God to our own lives. We can be under teachings, we can learn from the different ministers that, you know, you hear, but somewhere you have to find out, okay, what is my system? Just like in the business world, everybody has their system. You know, they've got their way of success, you know, do this, do that. Well, but you have to find, okay, what is the way that I can apply it so it relates to me and to my situation? And it's the same thing with the Word of God. I have to find out, okay, how can I relate to God in terms that He's real to me? And so you don't have to do this. I'm just saying that, okay, sometimes I need to jerk myself. You may think that folks in the ministry are perfect, but we are not. And so, but I've learned by the grace of God that even when I chastise myself, and I'm going to read, I wrote in my journal, I chastise myself, but I don't walk around condemned. God, I have learned the power of the blood of Jesus, that His blood has washed away my sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I can't tell you how many times I make a wrong move, I say the wrong thing, but I just thank God for His grace. Because that helps me keep the relationship alive. When I know that God is not, he's not trying to condemn me, He's not ready, you know, to bring me down, but He's always ready to encourage me. So I said, is this helpful? Do you want me to read it? Okay. I mean, I get excited when I spend time with God. And my desire for His people is not to get hooked. I use it loosely, but not to get hooked on my teaching, but to know that God wants to talk to you firsthand. Amen. See, what I'm telling you is secondhand, right? But He wants to talk to each and every one of you. He wants you to be excited. He wants you to see things. He wants to give you revelation that nobody ever taught you, but He taught you Himself. He wants to draw you close to Him. Because the closer we are to God, the less the things of the world matter to us. The less all those temptations matter to us, the harder it is for the enemy to pull us and jerk us around. The harder it is for the enemy to depress us, to put us in fear, all those things. The closer we get to God, just like Moses, when he was up on the mountain and when he came down, his face shone. And it says, well, if the old covenant was glorious, how much more the new covenant? So after we spend time with God, the glory of the Lord should be upon us. We should just be oozing out glory. I know this might sound corny, but I love God and I have fun in the Word. Okay. So, when I find myself yielding too much to my flesh, I said, Veronica, get in line. Okay. So this is what I wrote. Veronica, you have an awesome opportunity as a change agent for nations and kingdoms. And I'm talking to myself now, right? And I will not allow you to throw away your destiny just to satisfy an earthly craving of the flesh. Too many lives are at stake. You want to see results? Then get busy. As if your assignment means the difference between life and death for millions of people who are suffering at the hand of the devil and of wicked men. You have the key. Don't miss this opportunity. God will for sure choose someone else who will reap where they have bestowed no labor. Don't forfeit your reward for mere pottage. You are a vessel of honor. Carry yourself that way. Rise up to your assignment. See yourself as a kingdom ambassador to the nations. Prepare yourself for the opportunities I've laid up for you. You know, it's in your heart. Invest the time you know you need with God. In all labor there is profit, but profit only comes once all the expenses have been paid. Profit only comes, think about business, profit only comes once all the expenses are paid. So I'm talking to myself, pay the price. Your reward is great. Stay focused. I will lead you. Now it's like God is talking. You have my mind and my spirit. You have not even begun to imagine the things I have in store for you. Don't waste your life on the unimportant. I will lead you and show you what to do and where to do it. I am accurate. I hit the mark every time. I am excellent. There is no flaw in my judgment. So get busy, rise up, press in, do the work, walk it out, spend the time, invest yourself. It pays. I always pay and pay well. Get my family back and all that is due them. Don't forget them. I hear their cries, but I seek for too long for someone to step up and answer them. Now it's time. Be faithful in little, and I'll let you rule over much. Remember, I am with you to deliver you, to heal you, to encourage and uplift you. Be not afraid. You have the faith. Now go in confidence with my blessing. Amen. Glory to God. So that, I got that November 5th, last year, November 5th. And then shortly after that, I preached that message. And you remember in that message, I was washing dishes in the kitchen, and I was a little frustrated because I thought I needed to be used more for the kingdom. Remember that, those who were there? And then God showed me a scripture from Ruth that because I didn't want to miss my reward. Because I know God's rewards are based on your service to Him, you know, and fulfilling your assignment. And it's like, Lord, what's up? but He showed me that a scripture that says that you'll receive your full reward. And so peace came. And ever since that time, there has been a shift in my life. So instead of, you know, that sometimes we try to push hard, too hard, you know, to make things happen. You know, we believe God, we're standing in faith, but we become frustrated about our situations because they're not lining up with our forward movement. So God helped me get rid of that frustration. And ever since then, things have been taking off. Amen. You know, I published a book, I'm about to publish another one, and God is working. So my admonition to you, and all of this, you know, is out of my relationship with God, okay? Nothing on the outside changed. I changed on the inside. So, have a statement for you. We need to read our Bible so we can get knowledge so we won't perish. Okay? Repeat after me. We need to read our Bible so we can get knowledge so we won't perish. Okay. So, when you study your Bible, there are three things that you learn. Now, you learn a lot, but for this sermon, there are three things. Number one, If you start in the Old Testament, you learn how much God hates sin. Okay? Now, just because Jesus came doesn't mean that God hates sin any less. He just gives grace until the grace time is out. Okay? So you learn, but you learn, number two, you learn how much God loves you. You learn how much God loves you through the Word. But the third thing is which we see so clearly, I mean, you can look at the book of Judges, but so clearly throughout the Old Testament, is you learn how easy it is to slide back into a lifestyle of sin in the flesh when we neglect our relationship with God and stop participating in the local church. How easy it is for the enemy to get in and little by little chip away at our zeal, our enthusiasm. You know, remember how on fire for God you were when you first got saved? I mean, you're telling people left and right, and there was just that newness, just like when you first, you know, met your spouse and y'all butterflies on the inside and everything, right? Okay? So you learn how much God hates sin, how much God loves you, and how easy it is to slip if we don't take care of that relationship with God. So again, people don't perish. Like Pastor said, they don't perish because they don't have enough money. They don't perish because, you know, of office politics and you won't get promoted. All these reasons why life is hard. That's not the reason. The reason is we lack knowledge. And the more knowledge of God we get, the better life will be. Amen? Amen. So I have this whiteboard up here because I want to use some illustrations to share a little bit what I'm talking about. Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah. And of course, you know, because Israel, by the time, you know, you get to reading all the prophets in the Old Testament, you'll see that God's people, they strayed away from God and they went into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And so here, after 70 years, then some of the people had started going back to Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah, he led them in rebuilding the wall because the walls were all broken down. Because in that time, cities, they had walls around to protect the people from predators and from enemies. And so, and Ezra was the one who brought back all the Levitical traditions and the priestly traditions, and so he would read the scriptures, okay? So, at this time in Nehemiah chapter 9, starting verse 1, now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. And then skip to verse 13. They're rehearsing about what God did for them. Thou came down also upon Mount Sinai and spake with them from heaven and gave them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. Okay? So, they confessed, they were confessing their sins. If in your time in chapter 8, they read the scriptures and the people heard how far off they had strayed from God, that they started crying and weeping and repenting. Verse 9 says, all the people wept when they heard the word. Well, the word is supposed to bring joy, but they wept because they saw how far they'd strayed. In verse 10 at the end, it says, you know, this is a holy day. Don't be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So how did they know they had strayed away from God? How did they know? They had the word. The word let them know when they had strayed from God. How do we know right from wrong? We get it from the word. We get it from the word. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that talks about woe to them that call good evil and evil good. Well, see, that's what happens in the world. The world tries to advertise evil as being good and tries to ridicule the good people as being evil. Okay? So they knew that they were doing wrong because they had the word. So let me give you an illustration. Because our relationship with God keeps us in an area of protection. And so, but there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Yes, we need to read the Old Testament, but we need to understand where our protection lies. Our protection doesn't lie in trying to keep the Old Testament law. But it also doesn't lie in us being so free that we can do anything and just say we're under grace. Amen? Okay, so I'm going to draw a circle. This is Israel. All right? And this is the world. I'm drawing circles for those who can't see. So Israel is in the middle, and then I draw a bigger circle around Israel, and this is the world. So, and in the world is the curse, right? But God wants Israel to be blessed. So, what God did, when Israel came out of Egypt, okay, they had been in Egyptian bondage for 400 years, they had lost their identity. Okay, God's will, God's best is not to have a bunch of rules that we have to keep. Abraham, let's draw another circle, okay? Okay, Abraham was in the world, and God decided to establish a covenant with him. He didn't give him a bunch of laws. He said, walk before me and be perfect and upright before me, and I'll establish my covenant with you and I'll bless you. So Abraham's blessing was based on a relationship, right? It wasn't based on him, because we can see that when he told the Pharaoh that Sarai was his sister instead of his wife, okay, he lied, but God still blessed him. Because the blessing wasn't based upon telling a lie and doing all these good things, okay? The blessing was based on the relationship. And so to solidify that relationship, in Genesis 17, God told him to circumcise. To circumcise himself and all the males. Now, what is circumcision? If you don't know what circumcision is, ask your mom, if you're a kid, and your dad, because I'm not going to explain it. But suffice it to say, it's a cutting away of the flesh, which is useless. cutting away of useless flesh, and that was an indication that they were in covenant with God, right? And so instead of giving him laws, he said, you know what? I want you to put away from you all this fleshly stuff and to build your relationship with me. Okay, and so that's what the blessing was based on. Now, let's look at in Eden, okay? Adam and Eve. I'm doing this because, I'm trying to point out where a place of protection and blessing is. Well, so here they are in the garden, right? And there was only one law that they had, right? And what was it? Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil. So, let's say that this line represents that one law. This was a boundary that if they passed this boundary, they'd be in trouble, right? And so they had, what, two trees in the midst of the garden, in addition to all the other trees that were good for food and good to look at. Okay, you had the tree of life. And then you also had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, this tree physically was in the garden, but spiritually, it was in the danger zone. It was outside of the protection of God. So physically, it was in the garden. But spiritually, it was in the danger zone. And so God said, if you eat, you're going to die, right? With Abraham, God said, be thou perfect, walk before me. I'll establish my covenant with you. I'll give you seed as the stars in the heavens and as the sands. And so God protected Abe because of the relationship. Now, with Israel, for them to be blessed, what did God establish? He established a law, right? The Ten Commandments and all the laws. Because he wanted them blessed, but he had to let them know that there was a good and there was an evil. There are things that please God and there are things that don't please God. When they came out of Egypt, they had no concept. They were just acting like the world because it had been 400 and some years, okay? And so, and they had been in bondage. They had been in slavery. So he gave the law to let them know, okay, if you keep this law, then I can continue to bless you. If you violate the law, there's going to be judgment and devastation. And if you look, I think, in Leviticus chapter 26, that's an example of all the ways that God brought judgment against the nation of Israel when they strayed away. But, of course, who can keep the law? Nobody can keep the law. Jesus was the only one that could keep the law. So he brought sacrifices. So that if you do break the law, then you can shed the blood of the bull and the goat and the sheep and whatever it was, and then we could reestablish the blessing, right? So this was their safe zone. Their safe zone was to walk according to the Old Testament law, and when they sinned, then to do a sacrifice, right? For us, let's say for you, right? Before we're saved, right? We're in the world. We're in the unsafe zone. But, okay, so where is our safe zone? We're not under the law. So somewhere there needs to be a safe zone around us so that we can continue to be blessed. So, the safe zone, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So, we could say this is Christ. As long as we are in Christ, right? Our safe zone is making sure we feed on the Word of God. Because the Word of God, the Holy Ghost can convict us as we read, right? The safe zone, said, without faith we can't please Him. And the just shall live by faith. And faith comes from the Word, so faith. Okay, how about love? Because love is the fulfilling of the law. Right? Walk in love. Love your neighbor. Love God. And each of these, again, they're boundaries that if see, the enemy, is this making sense? Okay. So here's the world, and this is the enemy's territory. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in there. And so what he does is he provokes you, he tempts you to cross that barrier of protection. Okay? Is it Galatians, what is it, 6:8? He that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the spirit will of the spirit reap life everlasting. So he tries to get us to cross that boundary and get in the flesh. Okay, when we come over here, we're acting in the flesh. We're not in faith, we're not in love, we're not in holiness, we're in the flesh. So that's why I chastise myself. I say, okay, Veronica, get it together, girl. Okay. And so it's not just you, it's you and God, okay, because he's in you. And the word is in you. And so this is our place of protection. That's why it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Because if we don't do the word, if we're not doers of the word, guess what? This circle of protection around us becomes narrower and narrower and narrower. And so when temptation comes, whatever kind it is, it's that easy for us to get off base. That's why the more time you spend with God, and I don't just mean time. I mean, because we can walk in an awareness of God, you know, but as long as we keep, even in Joshua 1:8 says, you know, keep meditate day and night, keep the word before you, keep the word flowing in you, okay? Just keep building up your spirit man, keep feeding your spirit man, okay? Keep that relationship strong. Because the more you do that, the bigger this inner circle gets. Okay? Until God is so much of your life, you don't even pay attention to what's going on in the world hardly. I mean, you're not going to the parties anymore. You're not watching some of those compromising stuff, you know. You're looking at those websites and you know, you got your flesh harnessed, right? You're living holy. And so this gets real big. And the devil really doesn't seem to be a problem. You know, Jesus said, the enemy comes and he has nothing in me. Well, we want our relationship so strong with God so that he has nothing in us. But our relationship with God, just like a marriage, our relationship with God is something it's living and breathing and alive. And so anything that's living and breathing, you got to feed it, right? If you got some plants, if you ignore your plants, they're not going to be living for long. So it's just a relationship. We got to feed it. We got to nurture it. So as long as we stay within the boundaries, we are safe. And even if our physical circumstance doesn't change, okay, even if the things that are bringing hardship to you, even if they don't change, if you keep that relationship strong, life is good. Because there are some things you can't do anything about anyway, so you might as well not worry about it. And you just pray about it, you know, keep it up before God, but don't worry about it, because worry's not going to do anything for your situation. Okay, so can we move on? Is that clear? All right. So going back, Leviticus chapter 18. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments, and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. So God is saying, where you came from Egypt, I don't want you to do what you used to do in Egypt. And guess what? Where I'm taking you in Canaan, I don't want you to do what they're doing in Canaan. God says, I'm going to give you a lifestyle that will bring my blessings into your life. Amen? And so that's why we need to know the word of God, because we need to know where our boundaries are. Boundaries aren't to make life miserable. They're not to cut out our fun. Boundaries are to keep us in a place where life is good. And when you stay in a place where life is good, you don't have to keep looking over your shoulders expecting something bad to happen. You can live in peace. You don't have to harbor unforgiveness towards anyone. You don't have to try to get back at anybody. You don't have to try to manipulate. You don't have to try to use any of the world's tactics to get to where you want to go. Because you know God's got you. And you know He's working on your behalf. So what God did, the whole Old Testament is really showing what happens. Okay, Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and from that point on, mankind is continually trying to keep this relationship with God, but keeps getting tempted and keeps sinning. And so after a while, God says, you know what? You can't do this. I've got this now. So I'm going to send my son Jesus. And so instead of you trying to have the heavy burden of trying to do everything right and keep all the laws, I will send Jesus and He will keep it perfectly. And so in all of the sins and everything that you've done in the past, He's going to take the penalty for. So now we can go back to this, having a relationship. And having our protection and our security and our blessing be in the relationship. And instead of being circumcised on the outside, what does Romans 3 said? It says we are circumcised in our hearts. It's because in our hearts we have put away all the useless things of the flesh. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 30. I was reading... Again, in regular Bible study, I was reading in this chapter, and sometimes the book of Proverbs, I love the way it flows because the truths are applicable for today. But then you get to this chapter 30, and it seems kind of disjointed. And I'm saying, Lord, why are you putting this stuff in here? And then he opened it up, and then he showed me something, and we can map it to this illustration here. In Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 15, I'm going to start in the middle. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave, and the barren womb, and the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. So as I looked at that, I said, Lord, what are you saying here? And so he mentions four things. There are four things that never say it is enough. The first one is the grave, the pull of death. From the time a baby is born into the earth, they're going to hit the grave. That death is pulling them. It might take 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years, but there's this pull of death. And as long as we are on this earth, before Jesus renovates everything, there's going to be that pull of death. The next one, the barren womb. That's the pull to life. A woman who hasn't had children and wants a child, there's that pull to bring life, to bring forth life. And the only thing that will satisfy that is a life. The next one, the earth that is not filled with water. There's the cry of the earth to sustain life. The first one was that pull of death. The second one was that pull of life. The third one is that pull to sustain life. Life on earth, we need water to sustain life. And the earth is always and continually pulling for more water so that it can nourish the things that are planted in it. And the last one, the fire that saith not, it is enough. The pull of fire is to destroy that which sustains life. If you see on the newscast when they have wildfires, and it's, you know, they're trying to contain this fire, but the nature of fire is to continue to spread and destroy. So as long as we're in this world, there will be a pull. There will be a pull downward. There will be a pull to the flesh. There will be a pull. But there is also a pull for life. God is pulling us upward. God is drawing us to Himself. God is drawing us and leading us to his word. God is wanting to bestow so much loving kindness upon us. When he gave grace, God wants to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. God desires to reveal his nature so much to us because many of his people are perishing for lack of knowledge. People are worrying, they're struggling, they're not enjoying this life that God has given us. And we must pursue our relationship with him so that we can get up to this place. This place of protection, this place of this Eden. This is our Eden. And God put Adam in the garden to dress it and to keep it. And so the garden is in our hearts and we must dress it and keep it. And we do that. We feed our relationship by spending that time with him in the Word. And the Holy Spirit, he gave us the Word, and the Holy Spirit will reveal and continue to reveal more and more about who God is. And the more we learn about who God is, the more we learn about who we are, because the Word is a mirror. We've been made in his image and in his likeness. Life is good with God. And I'm not saying that nothing negative will ever touch you again, but it's good to be in a place where you know when things come up, you can trust God. That you can say, okay, I'm not going to let that move me. And you can just continue walking in faith. Remember, I shared on that vacation I went on last year, and I said I was kind of, I don't stress, okay? But it's like I was always on edge, you know, believe God for this, believe God for this. And I wasn't at a state of peace. And he brought me to that state of peace. And it's like, you know what? I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to be frustrated. I'm not going to be put out because things are not happening the way I want it. I'm not going to be moved by individuals. And if individuals are doing things that are different from my expectations, nothing. What did Paul say? And none of these things move me. And somebody asked me, and I think I may have mentioned that, they're in a tough situation. They said, why doesn't God deliver me from this? When is he going to deliver me? And I believe deliverance comes when we can be content with him. No matter what's going on the outside, that we have found our Eden on the inside with him. And when that happens, when we're internally driven and not externally driven, you know, the only reason that the enemy could get entry into individuals and into Israel is because there was influence from the outside coming in that was contrary to the lifestyle that God was trying to get them to lead. And so when we shake ourselves up and get back, you know, with God and get back with the things that really nourish our spirits, we will find that we're in a place where our focus will be more from being seated in heavenly places than being here on this earth. That we'll be in a place of rest, we'll be in a place of freedom, we'll be in a place where God will cause all things to work together for our good. And that's what we have for you tonight. Did you learn something? Glory to God.